I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Let me be the first to say good morning to you here on this Friday morning. Friday. Thursday morning feels like a Friday. That's a good start to the show, huh? It's the early morning show here on 93.7 The Fan. I'm Matt Cole with you till about 5:40. It's certainly, can you blame me? It seems like a Friday morning. It's the start of a new day. Brought to you by Greenbrier Treatment Center. It's still freezing cold out, but it's supposed to get a little bit warmer today, so got that on the horizon. Also, it's game day. Steelers, Browns, Pitt, North Carolina, tons of action going on, football action in the city today. A lot to get into here on the early morning show during my time, and I appreciate you listening, whether that's on the radio.com app or on your traditional radio here in the car, wherever you're going this morning. Let me start here. Movie previews, commercials, and the Cleveland Browns. What do they all have in common? How are they all alike? Well, I think movie previews, commercials, and the Cleveland Browns are all pretty similar, right? If you think of movie previews, they flash you all the very best they have to offer to draw you in. Yeah, they've only got, what, a minute and a half, maybe just 60 seconds to kind of draw you in to a movie. And so they start with some of the flashy things about this movie to have get you to tune in, to go to the theater, or to check it out or talk about it with your friends, right? They start with the big names that are involved with this movie. It's Adam Sandler. It's Will Ferrell. It's got Eddie Murphy. It's got Jim Carrey for a comedy. And then for an action film, it's, well, featuring Jason Statham, Liam Neeson, and Bruce Willis star in things exploding, if it's an action film. And you're like, oh my gosh, look at this movie, man. It's got, you know, it's got Tom Hanks in it. It's got Jennifer Lawrence. It's got Samuel L. Jackson, Robert De Niro. I got to see this thing, right? And for the Browns, they flashed you the rookie phenom and the NFL major personality in Baker Mayfield. He's waking up feeling dangerous, and he's going to lead the Cleveland Browns to the promised land. Here he comes. He's brash. He's flashy. He's the quarterback that they've needed for a long time. He's got the personality. It's Baker Mayfield. They've got the ultra talented and the formerly troubled wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr., a guy who was run out of town in New York because they couldn't handle his personality, but now he brings his skills to Cleveland and he's going to put his talents on display. It's Odell Beckham Jr. And it's also the ultra talented and formerly troubled running back Kareem Hunt, who we all saw what happened in his past, but hey, he's going to put that behind him and he's going to start anew in Cleveland and going to be that guy that brings that spark to the offense for the Browns, even if he only comes in mid-season. And it's also rookie phenom Nick Chubb, who's also in the backfield and who came on strong at the end of last season and is going to take off, which he has. And it's also Jarvis Landry, who's going to complement Odell Beckham Jr. The talent there in the receiving core might be the best in the league. And Myles Garrett, a first-round pick, is going to just cause destruction everywhere, and the Browns' defense is going to take off. Those are the big names that the Browns flashed at you. That was their movie preview. And then they get you into watching the actual movie, like the right? I mean, the preview worked. And then you're watching the movie, and you're like, oh, this plot sucks. Oh, they're doing that again? Is it really all this is? Is that they're just gonna go here and they're gonna do that? And for the Browns, it's, oh wait, their offensive line isn't all that great. Baker Mayfield's taken multiple sacks in all but two games now, and oh wait, Mayfield has thrown 12 interceptions. The meat of the story, or the meat of the team with the Cleveland Browns, it just isn't very good. The more you watch them and the more things play out throughout the season. And as you're continuing to watch this movie, you realize, wow, these jokes, if it's a comedy, these jokes are corny. Or, man, this whole scene was so predictable. The writing stinks in this movie. Yeah, they've got all these names. They've got De Niro, Samuel L. Jackson, Tom Hanks, Bruce Willis, whatever, Adam Sandler. But, man, these jokes are predictable. This scene was predictable. I played out this whole movie in my head before it happened. And for the Browns, Freddie Kitchens is a first-year coach in over his head. And they can't figure out how to script up plays to get Odell Beckham Jr. the ball more or to keep him happy. Freddie Kitchens admits to calling the wrong plays at the wrong times. He's trying to write out the story of the Cleveland Browns and write out this offense and how these game scripts are going to go, and just continues to screw things up and admits to screwing things up. And the scripting is just bad. And then you go back to the movie, and you're watching all these stars, and you're watching the Cleveland Browns with all these stars, and you realize, man, they really don't have any chemistry together. Like, the on-scene chemistry there for this movie, it just isn't there. There's a bunch of names, but it just doesn't seem like they are getting along very well or that it's very believable. For the Browns, it's Freddie Kitchens saying he's more worried about winning than Odell Beckham's targets. Rightfully so. I don't blame him for saying something like that, but essentially calling him out. Then he's asked about it this week, and you think that it's kind of a one-off thing, but Freddie Kitchens was asked this week during his media availability.
Odell's catches to his targets weren't perfect or what you might want. The fact that you guys kind of made a concerted effort to get him involved, do you think that will have benefits as you move forward?
Well, I think anytime we get the ball in our playmaker's hands is a good thing.
I'm just about sick of this guy. So the Browns to this point have merely been a preview to just a bad movie. It might be full of stars, might be full of big names that you know that are going to be flashy, but they've been nothing but a preview to a bad movie to this point. And the Browns are also that commercial. You know that commercial that, if you've seen this one where they kind of, I don't know if it's a car commercial or what it is, but they say how people make bad decisions in horror movies where there's this running car and there's a group of people that are being chased by this like chainsaw murderer. And one guy goes, "Oh, why don't we just get in the running car?" And then they're like, "No, are you crazy? Let's go behind this shed where this killer is." That's how I feel like the Cleveland Browns are over the years, is that they continue to make just bad decisions. There are those people in horror movies that make the incredibly bad decisions and get themselves in trouble. Baker Mayfield over Sam Darnold or Josh Allen or even Lamar Jackson. How many first-round picks down the drain over the years for the Cleveland Browns? And then to top it all off, and I know that I've ragged on him a lot during this segment, but Freddie Kitchens as the head coach. I mean, come on. You had a chance to move on from Hugh Jackson and all of his struggles throughout his career as the Cleveland Browns head coach. You had a chance to really get a guy in here that was going to take command of all the talent that you're bringing in, and it's Freddie Kitchens. Even if the Browns win tonight, I don't think they surge back into things and finish ahead of the Steelers. I don't think the Steelers' season will be completely derailed either, and maybe those are two statements that I didn't feel good about saying until this week. This might be the first time I can say that all year long, where I don't think the Browns are going to be able to catch up to the Steelers, and I don't think the Steelers' season is completely over if they lose a game tonight. And that's mostly, that second part of that, is mostly because I don't believe in the Raiders, and I certainly don't believe in the Bills. I think the Bills will be hard-pressed to find three more wins this year, and I'd be surprised if they get to nine wins. And the Raiders, I think, are just too up and down, and I don't completely trust all that they have either. So regardless of what plays out tonight, it's if the Browns end up winning this game, which I think is a real possibility because it's a home game, it's a short week, fluky things can happen, even though I think the Steelers are generally a better team than the Browns. But even if they win tonight, I still don't think they get back into it, and I don't think the Steelers' season is completely derailed either. Coming up next, not a whole lot of game action last night that you might have missed, but some sports storylines that I'll go over. And then to finish up the show today on the early morning show, some matchups, some trends, some other things that we might see take place tonight in Steelers-Browns. That's all coming up on the way. It's the Early Morning Show on 93.7 The Fan. It is the Early Morning Show here on 93.7 The Fan, and I'm Matt Cole with you here until about 5:40 before the Fan Morning Show pre-show, and then the Fan Morning Show thereafter, of course, previewing all things Steelers-Browns, Pitt, North Carolina as well. Cleveland.com Browns writer Mary Kay Cabot set to join the show at 9 o'clock to help break things down even further there, and we have all of our regular Friday football stuff, which is why I thought today was Friday to open the show. No really game action from last night that you may have missed while you weren't staying up and while you were trying to get some sleep before you woke up this early here on a Thursday morning, but still some sports headlines that you may have missed from last night. Let's go over those. The first is Cy Young voting. And so the NL Cy Young Award went to Jacob deGrom, and then the AL Cy Young went to Justin Verlander. And I think this constitutes for me a reason of or an example of how to just screw that up, because Justin Verlander winning the Cy Young Award, I'll cede that the final stats are like splitting hairs here with Verlander and Gerrit Cole, right? They're both members of the Houston Astros, obviously. Justin Verlander, 34 starts. He was 21-6. And Cole had 33 starts, and he was 20-5. So essentially the same record, just one more start for Verlander. Verlander, a 2.58 ERA. Cole, a 2.50 ERA. Verlander, 300 strikeouts. Gerrit Cole, 326 strikeouts. The whip numbers are about the same. Justin Verlander is .80. Gerrit Cole, .89. And then the strikeouts per nine, about the same as well, although Justin Verlander had a little over 12 strikeouts per nine, and Gerrit Cole was closer to 14. Gerrit Cole didn't lose a game from May 22nd on. There's got to be something there that vaults him to the top over Justin Verlander. It just does. And I know wins are kind of an antiquated stat that nobody really keeps track of anymore. It's all about your FIP and your WAR and whatever else that new age baseball people like to put in front of the win. And Justin Verlander had 21 of them, and Gerrit Cole had 20 of them. But it says something that Gerrit Cole didn't lose a game for like 3 months throughout the season and had one of the best second halves you could ask for. He was 11-0 with a 1.79 ERA, and he almost struck out 15 batters per nine innings. That's got to count for something. So to me, I thought that Gerrit Cole was more deserving of that AL Cy Young Award. And honestly, I could see, knowing as snobby as baseball writers can be sometimes, I know that the postseason isn't supposed to factor into anything regular season-wise and isn't supposed to factor into anything of the Cy Young Award voting, but I could see those voters going against him because he wore that Boris hat at the end of the World Series, because he jumped ship on his team almost immediately after the season and just said, you know what, I am now a free agent as of this moment, right after the game. I could see some baseball writers that have been around since, you know, who knows how long, this is their 80th year on the job, saying, you know what, I didn't like that move from Gerrit Cole, so Justin Verlander gets the vote. I wonder if that happened. I really do. Another sports storyline from last night that you might have missed is that the Indianapolis Colts are going to keep Adam Vinatieri. He is their guy. Malik Hooker came out and said that, you know, he is his hero and that he doesn't care what other people think. He wants Adam Vinatieri on this team. I don't know, man. It just feels a lot like the Steelers hanging on to Hines Ward for too long, or even Troy Polamalu or Ike Taylor toward the end of their career, where they clearly were shells of themselves, and yet because of the things that they had built up in the organization along the way or throughout their career, they were able to hang around for a little longer. And for the Colts, who still have playoff aspirations, they're still in it. If they get Jacoby Brissett back, I think they have, I'd be more concerned about them, I would say, than the Bills or the Raiders in getting into the playoffs. So I still think they have a legitimate chance, but they go into the playoffs with Adam Vinatieri there, who's definitely the shakiest kicker in the league right now. I think that's a huge mistake that Indianapolis is making. And then another sports or an NFL storyline is Cam Newton is open to being traded to the Chicago Bears. And the Bears are kind of at a crossroads right now with Mitch Trubisky. He's had an awful season after being, okay, I guess, last year and leading the Bears to the playoffs, but has just been so bad and has kind of received the brunt of the criticism and how things have fallen apart for Chicago this year. Cam Newton says that he would be open to a trade there. Carolina's looking to just kind of shed that salary and move on. And Newton's base salary for 2020 is only $18.6 million, which might seem like a lot and is a lot. I mean, to the common man, of course. But not for an NFL starting quarterback. That's kind of a steal for a starting quarterback in the NFL, and especially for a guy who's got his kind of pedigree. So maybe something to keep in mind and to keep an eye of and out for is Cam Newton, potentially a Chicago Bear, which could change things in the AFC for sure. Coming up next, get into some matchups, some trends, some other things that I think could happen tonight in Steelers-Browns as I wrap up the early morning show, and also a question of the day to ponder, to think about, to chew on as you get ready for Steelers-Browns and Pitt, North Carolina tonight. It's the early morning show on 93.7 The Fan. It's the start of a new day brought to you by Greenbrier Treatment Center, 528 on a Thursday morning, and it's game day, Steelers-Browns, Pitt, North Carolina, and I want to get into some things that I'm looking out for in Steelers-Browns tonight. Some of the particulars in this matchup between these two teams. First time we've seen them, of course, go at each other this year. And the first is kind of a general matchup that I'm looking for tonight. And that is the Steelers pass rushers on the left tackle, Greg Robinson. He was a former first round pick of the Redskins. And he's been, quite frankly, a huge weak spot for that line that overall hasn't really played all that great anyway. He's already been benched this year, and it could be just a nightmarish kind of day for him and for Baker Mayfield if the Steelers can expose him. And I think it would be mostly Bud Dupree who would be lined up against him tonight. But any kind of Steelers pass rush against Greg Robinson, I think he's the guy to key on for that Cleveland Browns offensive line, and where you think that is a definite mismatch and already a strength of this team, that being the Pittsburgh Steelers in their pass rush. We've seen that all season long. So that's one matchup I'm looking for. Maybe a trend that I'm looking for tonight in this one. Two trends. The first one is James Conner's usage, just overall. First of all, I'm excited to see James Conner get back out there. I think obviously it'll be an improvement for the Steelers offense. But Conner, as I laid out earlier this week, should be used more in a two-back system. I don't think he's the workhorse back. I don't think that he is necessarily, I don't know what you term a feature back to be, but I don't think that he should be getting 20-plus carries a game. But James Conner is going to be used a lot to run the ball and probably is going to get close to 20 carries tonight because Jalen Samuels will merely be a passing option. I think he's shown so far this year that unlike last year at times, whenever he came in for James Conner when he was hurt, and part of the reason why I think Conner should be a more of a two-back kind of guy is because he's always hurt, and that's going back to last year and years before that as well. But Jalen Samuels hasn't really shown to be the guy that's going to tote the ball and to actually be effective with it. So I think he's merely a passing option for tonight's game, which means that James Conner could get beat up again tonight and get close to those 20 carries. Is he going to survive that kind of punishment with already a shoulder that I don't believe will be 100%, no matter what the Steelers say about it? I think it's probably going to be a nagging injury at this point, who isn't banged up? But I think that shoulder is even more banged up for James Conner, so he could get beat up again. I think the trend in the running game is going to go right back to where it was with James Conner tonight. And the other trend here on the other side for Cleveland is that Baker Mayfield is actually improving a little bit. His completion percentage is back over 60%, and he hasn't thrown a pick in his last two games. So his completion percentage has improved over the last three games, and he hasn't thrown very many picks. We'll see if that continues tonight. I think this is a different animal with the Steelers defense I mean, going up against them, what they've been able to do in the secondary, especially of late. A quote we could see play out most tonight. So we always go through a bunch of sound here at the station and throughout the morning and really throughout the day that we like to bring to you that our intrepid reporters go out there and get, whether that's Josh Rountree, Jeff Hathorn, Eric Hagman, Jim Colony, all of those guys working hard to get us all the different sound throughout the week. And I think one quote stands out the most that we could see the most in Steelers-Browns tonight, and that's from Randy Feitner. And here it is.
I go back to turnovers. It's been the story. If we do not turn the ball over, man, I don't know who's going to beat us. I mean, it'd be hard.
So I don't think him saying that and having such a focus in on turnovers, I don't think we're going to see much change with how the Steelers approach their offensive tactics or how they approach Mason Rudolph coming into this game. I don't think he's going to throw many high-risk passes down the field, nor is Randy going to be overly aggressive in his game plan. It's going to be another stay within yourself, take what's given to you, evaluation of Mason Rudolph. And I don't think much is going to change for this game. I think maybe some fans will be upset, frustrated that they're not being more aggressive offensively. But Randy Feitner, the offensive coordinator, saying this about turnovers and how if they don't turn the ball over, nobody can beat them, makes me think that it's not going to be aggressive again tonight. If you see this, the Browns are in trouble. And so I'll do this with the Steelers as well. If you see this, the Browns are in trouble and likely to lose this game, regardless of the score. Baker Mayfield scrambling to his right. That means the line is collapsing, and that's kind of his fall area. That's where he has been known when things are going crazy and going, you know, collapsing around him. It means he's out of sync, and the Steelers are disrupting what they want to do down the field, the Browns are. With Jarvis Landry, with Odell Beckham Jr., if he's scrambling off to his right, Baker Mayfield, it means that he is running for his life and that there is just no consistency in the passing game for Cleveland. And so the Browns are in definite trouble. If you see this, the Steelers are in trouble tonight. And that's the Browns picking up first downs without Baker Mayfield having to throw the ball. This is the one very dangerous element of Cleveland, in my opinion. They can flat out run the football. Nick Chubb has been an animal most of the season. He's almost got 1,000 yards so far. And now they bring in Kareem Hunt, who we might not remember, but was one of the best backs in the league with Kansas City before he got himself into trouble. If those two get rolling and pick up first downs and get going down the field, however they use them, I don't know what the complement will be. I don't think they really figured it out through the first week and how to use Kareem Hunt in with Nick Chubb. But if those two start to dominate things without Baker Mayfield having to sit in the pocket and maybe scramble for his life or maybe throw balls down the field that he shouldn't and, you know, throw risky passes and add on to his 12 interceptions on the year, then I think the Steelers are in some big trouble. Okay, what if the Steelers lose this game as I wrap up here on the early morning show? Again, I don't see it being the end of the world. It's probably the toughest game left on the schedule outside of the Ravens in Week 17 in Baltimore. And I think that's probably the main reason why I think that. The rest of the schedule should be pretty easy for the Steelers. They've got the Browns again, but they've got them at home. The Jets, the Cardinals are on the schedule, the Bills are on the schedules, and the Bengals again. And so this will probably be the toughest game outside of Baltimore. And again, I don't think the Raiders or the Bills, they might win this weekend. The Raiders have the Bengals, and the Bills have the Dolphins. But I'd be shocked if either team wins more than 9 games. Even after tonight, even if they lose, I think the Steelers can still win those 9 games. And what if the Browns lose? I could see Freddie Kitchens getting fired midseason. It's your divisional rival coming into your house with their backup quarterback having a winning season, which is flying in the face of all you've been able to accomplish with essentially a full deck all year. And with this up front office and with this organization, yeah, I think that's a real possibility if the Browns lose tonight that Freddie Kitchens could just go tonight or Friday morning. I wouldn't even be surprised by that. All that being said, I think the Steelers win 23-20 tonight, and I think Pitt on the other side against North Carolina, I think they win tonight as well. I think Pat Bostic came on with the Fan Morning Show yesterday and said the Pitt defense is kind of going to make the difference, and I think I agree with that. Athletic enough to keep up, I think it's going to be different than years past against North Carolina. I think Pitt wins probably by 4 tonight. A question of the day, and something offbeat. Kareem Hunt just came back for the Browns. How would you feel if you were a Browns fan about him coming back and onto the team, considering all that he's come back from, the domestic violence? I mean, he was on camera kicking a woman. How do you feel about him even now as you watch him play tonight? Is it open arms or is it kind of a dirty feeling watching Kareem Hunt out there? And how would you feel about that if you were a Browns fan? Fan weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet, Route 19 in the South Hills. Black Friday is not just one day, it's every day in November at Sun Chevrolet. Today, mostly cloudy and not as cold and a high of 44. And then tonight, partly cloudy and a low of 25. Pre-show next.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.